MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Simon Fillmore. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Independent Securities. Simon, appreciate the time. A recent note that you put out talks a fair bit about President-elect Trump. Of course, he comes in on Monday. One of the key points I take away from it is that he's perhaps not as binary as many think for markets. There are things we just don't know. There are things which would be perhaps good in the short term, others which might be bad. It's not as simple as to say, well, it's Trump and therefore it's all either good or either bad.
Yes, I think that's a very good point. And obviously, the inauguration is next week, and it'll take some time for all of his policies to filter through and to see exactly what is intended. But I think because it is his second term, he's only got 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to hit the ground running and come out firing out of the gates with a whole range of executive orders at the get-go. And I think, as we've seen as his strategy, historically, he comes initially with some very wild demands and ultimately settles somewhere in the middle. So I think we'll see a similar playbook this time. And I don't think anyone's really expecting tariffs to the degree that he has announced historically. And as we all know, that he does use the stock market as a barometer of his success. And certainly if tariffs are ratcheted up quite quickly, it would have a negative impact on inflation, which would have a direct feedback into the stock market. So we're not expecting him to be too aggressive on tariffs initially.
I take your point on tariffs 100%, and I like the point around the stock market as sort of the gauge he uses. One thing he has talked around is tax cuts. Some of his tax cuts are set to expire, and he will obviously try and renew them. He's looking at reducing corporate tax, high owner taxes. This is good in the short term, but it does add to that U.S. debt, which is, what, north of $33 trillion already. Short term, good. Long term, more of a complexity.
Yes, I think he is going to struggle to find support to push that through. It's been touted that he's looking to push the corporate tax rate down to 15%. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that does need to be funded somehow. And I think that's where the mathematics gets a little bit difficult. Sure, there is Elon Musk with his Department of Government Efficiency, but whether they can extract enough efficiencies on that side of the equation to offset what they're going to lose from taxes is another question. And I think also with the debt, the big issue is there's probably around 40 or 50% of it that matures over the next 2 years. And because of interest rates increasing, as that debt matures and needs to be refinanced, that refinancing cost will be higher. So that's another headwind for U.S. economic markets as we see it.
Absolutely. And at this point in time, I mean, valuations on U.S. markets after two stellar years, S&P and NASDAQ, there really is no wiggle room for disappointment from earnings over the next year.
Yes. And I think for us, this is the biggest sticking point that we're seeing at the moment. And there are lots of unknowns that we can debate about and what Trump's policies are going to have on the market and the impact and whether his pro-growth strategy will ultimately prevail. But even if you push that all to the side, the one area that concerns us is the valuation on the market, specifically U.S. equities. And, for instance, the S&P 500 is trading at a P/E of about 21.6. That's based on earnings of about $271 per share. And that P/E of 21.6 compares to its longer-term average of about 16 times. And I think we've seen a couple of years of good earnings growth, and the market's implying that there's going to be at least 10% growth this year and another 10% next year. And I think, to me, that seems a little bit of a stretch at this stage. And when we drill it down into a company level, obviously the overvaluation of certain tech shares is well known, but we're also seeing that apparent in quality shares. It's very difficult to buy a high quality company at a good price. And I think for us, one of the stocks that signifies the overvaluation of U.S. equities is a company like Costco. It's an unbelievable business, and it's just exceptional return on capital, great management team, good margins. Its employees love working there. Its consumers and clients love it. But on a P/E of 50 for a fairly mature retailer, it just seems too high for us. And we find that across the board for many high-quality businesses where you're just having to pay P PE ratios of north of 35 seems a little bit high at this stage. So we're just taking a fairly defensive stance on US equities at this stage.
Absolutely. That Costco story gets me every time. I have to double check the PE, but there it is. But the one place you do talk around is sort of AI adjacent. In other words, you know, not the Mag 7, not the NVIDIAs, but you talk around like biotech, which could really use AI as a process to speed up their processes. And there might be some potential there. They're not directly AI, but they benefit from it.
Yes. And I think, you know, in the biotech space, overall, I think it obviously had a massive run into COVID. And since then, earnings haven't met expectations. And obviously demand, you know, specifically for vaccines has dropped. We just need to look at what happened to Moderna's share price a couple of days ago on the back of its results. I think the share was down about 17%. So that sector has been under pressure for the last couple of years. But for us, it would certainly be one of the places that could benefit the most from implementing AI into the business, and you know, whereby just the cost and the time to test and market a new drug is significantly condensed. And these days, to develop a blockbuster drug typically costs well over $1 billion. So it's a fairly expensive endeavor. And at the same time, it takes considerable time, a number of years, before a drug gets approval and is ultimately launched. But using AI, that can be condensed quite significantly. So that's an area that we think, you know, could potentially benefit and isn't, you know, talked about as being a direct benefactor of AI spend at the moment.
And then what about you talk around qualities priced for perfection, so is tech. What about value shares? What about emerging markets, which have had a tough many, many years? Is that a space or spaces we should perhaps start to be looking at?
Yes, we believe so. And it's quite interesting. The theme's pretty consistent over the last 20 or 25 years, whether one looks at value shares, emerging market shares, all small cap shares, you know, all have underperformed their relative opposite quite significantly over that time frame, which is quite unusual. But I think when we're faced with relatively expensive US equities, there are opportunities in each of those spaces that potentially do offer good returns over the next couple of years in an environment where US equities either are flat or are negative just because they're at such a high base.
We'll leave it there. That's Simon Fillmore, Chief Investment Officer, Independent Securities. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.